We need to catch up a little bit here since we spoke last month. Our next guest is the proverbial host with the most for the Pac-12 Network, always repping the 201 and Fordham in the Bronx. On Twitter, use the handle at Mike_Yam. Mike, on this final day of July 2020, how were you and yours holding up?
Still healthy. That's a win. Great to be on with you. Is it me? And I know you've been kind of grinding, doing the shows, and kind of focusing in on when are we going to get sports back. But getting NBA basketball on a Thursday, unbelievable Blazers game today, and scheduling now coming together for the Pac-12 and other conferences making the announcements on how they're going to handle their schedule. Like, don't you feel like we're creeping a little closer to the sports normalcy?
Let me put it to you this way. The other night, I stood up and yelled to my wife, I'm flipping back and forth between games and taking notes for the show tomorrow. I was in my glory. Well, it really is, Mike. You want to talk about simple pleasures in life. You know, sometimes we can get a little over analytical and we love our jobs, but sometimes it's nice to just kick back and watch a bunch of games.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, too, because, and I know you're a basketball fan, and both of us growing up in the Northeast, and we've had the jokes over the years with the Knicks, but even just watching now, I know TNT has thrown out Ernie and Charles and Kenny and Shaq, like, for other shows, but when there's an actual game, like, the shows just even have a different vibe. Like, yeah, we're talking about, you know, Kenny doing his pictures. I'm like, you know how excited I was? I was like, we got an actual game to discuss and watch and enjoy. And then I was reminded last night, not to get on a huge tangent, like, the best part about living on the West Coast, right? Like, it's a late game, Lakers, Clippers, it's all good. It's like 9-something. I'm like, yo, it's past midnight on the East Coast. Like, this is awesome living out here.
No, I've enjoyed it, and it's been very therapeutic. So this afternoon, I know news broke last week, but we learned there's a plan and a schedule where everybody gets a bye, and 10 games will be played between September 26th, December 5th. I know that it's all contingent, but seeing the schedule, hearing the commissioner today, and seeing the plan, I mean, does it at least allow us to keep that cautiously optimistic feeling?
Oh, absolutely. I you know, right now, and I think the biggest thing is not just what you're seeing from the Pac-12 conference, but I take it a step further. You know, the SEC making their announcement yesterday on their 10-game conference schedule. We'll find out what the Big 12 is going to do on Monday, but the ACC, like, things are coming together. Big 10, obviously, the first to do it, but I think the difference here is when you look at the conference, the Pac-12, that is, first league to actually give you a tangible schedule with actual matchups. And for me, Steven, I don't know about you, there were some things, and one thing in particular that I was, well, two things in particular I was really looking forward to finding out, besides just who was playing who. Are you going to equalize the home and away? And they did exactly that, five home games, five away games, because there was that report. Steve, I don't know if I came on your show to talk about it, but you know, people were saying Oregon was going to have to go to Salt Lake City, and I'm thinking to myself, man, you're talking about six road games for the team that's clearly the best squad right now in the conference, and you're only going to let Oregon play four home games. So I'm glad that did not happen. It's 5-5 for everyone. And then this idea of flexibility. I'm a fan of the week 12 being an open week, those first 2 weeks being able to move. And I do like the idea of the buys falling in those four, five, and six weeks. For me, just based off of some of the protocol that's been announced with how you have to handle players that test positive, I think if it happens early, you mitigate it a little bit with the buys in the middle of the season. And if it happens late and your team is still in the thick of things, you still have an opportunity to get that player back maybe with the open week or even in the championship game.
You know what I also thought was interesting? We think of the traditional end-of-season rivalry games. And week one, the Territorial Cup and the Crosstown rivalry. Oregon-Oregon State week four, the big game another week later on the Apple Cup. So in a season that's, let's face it, it's going to go down in the history books as unique, to kind of add this little wrinkle in there, I think is a nice touch.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird just to even look at the schedule and see some of those matchups. If I'm not mistaken, UW and Washington State will still happen right after Thanksgiving, so that falls in its normal window there. But even looking at Stanford's schedule, like what, week five, they're playing the big game. It's weird to me how it does shake out. And you're right, it is a one off, and it is what it is. We'll just deal with it, because look, you know, Stephen, and I know I speak for you on this. If we actually get these games, and it is a week one territorial cup, yo, whatever, I don't care. We're actually talking about football games happening. And to me, I don't even care what the matchups are. If you just get me the games at this point, I'll take whatever you got.
Yeah, I believe earlier in the week I said, and this might sound dramatic, if a little man came up to me and said, I know this is what's going to happen. Everybody's going to get their 10, 11 games. There's going to be conference championship games, and there's going to be a bowl season. I would like, could I bite the tip of my finger off and sign a contract in blood just to know we're going to get those, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing about this. And so I remember I came on your show a couple weeks ago, you had asked me about the confidence level that I had for the season. And to be honest with you, you rewind back to May, and, you know, I was feeling pretty confident. You know, 75-80% we were going to get a season. And as the cases around the country with COVID started to surge in June, I wasn't as confident. Beginning of July, not as confident. I'm not saying I'm confident you're going to get an entire season. What I do feel good about is you're going to get a start of the season. I think there's too much riding on the line right now, really from a financial standpoint, for sustaining a lot of these universities around the country, the importance of the sport, and really college football in particular, to help a lot of these universities survive. So to me, I don't know if we get a full season. I hope to God we're having a debate, Steve, about the pros, the cons of this conference schedule, and how to evaluate teams for a college football playoff, because I would love to be able to be in a situation where we're having that debate. I don't know if we finish out the year, but I do feel pretty good about starting.
All right, we're talking with Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network. Off that topic, I want you to do some bragging, because I follow you on Twitter, obviously, and apparently when Gal Gadot played Wonder Woman, they neglected to let us know she might have been inspired by your mom. So you posted on Twitter earlier this week. So tell us about this prestigious job and the honor one Mary Lou Yam had bestowed upon her.
I appreciate it. I'm sure she does as well. University president at Notre Dame of Maryland, and actually was honored by the state, being a top 100 female in the entire state. So certainly really, really proud moment, to be honest with you. I mean, kind of geek out and dork out on stuff like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it definitely was a really cool moment for sure. I appreciate you bringing that up.
Oh, that was awesome. Are you kidding me? And another thing on social media that I saw was personal to you, I saw Ashley mention it, and I think it's always important to spread the word about those behind the scenes who allow us in front of the camera, behind the mic, to do their thing. So who is Kristen LaFemina, recently recognized who is she? I wasn't familiar with her name.
Yeah, so actually, and this is, you know, that's now her married name, but Kristen Bredis is the person that I had met, and 8 years ago when we were launching Pac-12 Network, you know, the foundation of the network was actually set by her. In a lot of ways, from a talent perspective, she was the person who was in charge of hiring all the announcers. You know, that original team that we had, you know, with Coach Neuheisel and Curtis Conway and Ronnie Lott and Coy Wire and Jeremy Bloom, you know, Ted Robinson calling some of those games. You know, I don't, you know, this is like kind of a flashback, but
sure.
Kevin Calabro was one of our play-by-play guys. Adam Archuleta was actually one of our game analysts. So Glenn Parker, you know, so that entire team was put together by her. And I think the really interesting thing, and especially nowadays, because we're talking about, you know, there was the Me Too movement, and I should use use that phrase in the past tense, because I still think it's really important. But I think when you look at inclusion, diversity, you know, KB, I mean, we had a set, you know, not for nothing, Steve, week one, college football season, Pac-12 Network, me, Asian American, Curtis Conway, obviously an African American, Ronnie Lott, African American, Coy Wire, half Japanese, half black, and then Rick Neuheisel. I mean, that I don't know if there was another set in the entire country in any sport that had that type of diversity on their set, which was really special. And, you know, I was definitely proud especially in year one. I mean, a lot of, we had Lydia Murphy Steffens, who became our president at one point, but she was our executive producer. Like, there were so many females in management when we first lost the Pac-12 network. So kudos to her. She's actually now my agent. We had such a great bond, and she's the best boss I ever had. So it was an easy transition. But yeah, her getting that award by Synopsis, definitely very cool.
No, that was awesome to read about. A couple final thoughts from Mike Yam of the Pac-12 sure. Network. A note on the Oregon football program, because within, I think, about the last week, two major recruiting services ranked them third for the class of 2021. I know it's not final, but without having visits here and, you know, you there at the conference epicenter. So I guess, what's the buzz about the work Mario Cristobal and his staff are doing, building something that looks like it's made to last here in Eugene?
Yeah, still crushing it. That Cali flock that Cristobal has put into place. You know, on the rankings thing, I get it. I do think the way things are setting up right now, Steve, you're going to see player movement. It happens every single year. But I talked to Herm Edwards about this a week and a half ago, and I said, how much is recruiting now changing because of COVID? You hit the nail on the head. You talked about the lack of visits that people are going to be able to take. But Herm felt like a lot of high school players are more willing to commit now to have some sort of offer, to have some security that they're going to have a scholarship and a spot on a roster. And I think a lot of it also is going to hinge on what happens among a lot of states with high school football. California and New Mexico, I still believe, are the only two states right now that have decided to push their high school seasons to December or January, which means, Steve, you know, December 18th, signing day comes around, you could be talking about high school seniors committing to a university without playing a down of football in their senior seasons. And that, to me, is still odd. I still think the NCAA needs to address something along those lines. And New Mexico, not exactly the hotbed of college football recruiting, but California is, especially in Southern California. And Oregon has really done a tremendous job trying to pull some of that talent. So I do think because of COVID, lack of visits coupled with the uncertainty of a high school season, and probably parents wanting to keep some of their kids closer to home, I do think is going to play a factor. But we've seen it in recruiting, and we've seen Oregon do it at a high level, able to flip guys. So if things turn out a little bit better where you're able to get some of these visits, there's no doubt. I mean, Oregon right now, they're going to be a juggernaut on the defensive side of the ball this season, and I still think that they are by far the class of the conference this upcoming year.
And one last note here, staying sort of with Oregon, because last Saturday the WNBA season began, and it was Liberty versus the Storm, and of course Seattle's got Sue Bird, Brianna Stewart, yet the opening of the network coverage featured Sabrina Ionescu. So for the best league on the planet to shine that bright of a light on a rookie, I mean, Mike, what does that say about not only her game, but just the positive attention she draws?
Yeah, how many times have I been on your show and we brought up her name and we've said it on Pac-12 Network? You know, she wasn't last season the biggest star in women's basketball. She was the biggest star in college basketball, period. Male or female. I mean, the most recognizable name, and the things that she was able to accomplish in her time in Eugene, just so incredibly special. To me, not surprised, obviously, a number one pick, but also getting that attention in New York with that team. And I'll say this, just as she has grown up and the maturity that she has shown on the floor is one thing, but even off the floor, you know, what she was able to do to travel down to Southern California, speak at Kobe's wake, where she had that personal relationship, hop onto a plane, make it up to a Stanford game, have an epic performance against one of the best teams in the country, a Tara Vanderveer squad. Like, to me, it's, to use a phrase not to sound too cheesy, the moments have never seemed too big for her. And once again, the bright lights are there, and she's just continuing to shine.
Folks, he's Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network on Twitter. It's at Mike_Yam. Great stuff as always. Tell Mom I said congratulations.
I will.
Always look forward to our chats, my friend. Be well, and hopefully in a few weeks when you know, it's ready to talk again, we could actually take a step towards cementing the fact that we've got a college football season.
Yeah, August 17th, back on campus. Training camp's open. Let's do it.
All right. Hey, Mike, always appreciate your time, my friend. Be well. We'll talk soon.
You're the best, Steve. You too.
All right.
Stay healthy.
All right.